Something you may not know about me is that my personal history is deeply rooted in the Methodist Church. I was baptized there, was confirmed there, met Nick there and married him there. The kids were baptized there. And the reason I'm telling you this is not because I'm going to give you a three-point sermon referencing John Wesley, but rather to say that the Methodist Church is where I first encountered the lectionary. Now, you may or may not know that the lectionary is a pre-selected group of readings that's allocated to every Sunday and can be used for Bible study, for worship, and a whole host of other things. Now, the purpose of it is not to be dogmatic or to confine you, but rather the idea behind the lectionary is that if you go through it carefully week by week, over the course of a three-year period, you will go through the whole Bible, which is quite something. And so following the lectionary through this Advent season, we find that this Sunday, the theme assigned for it is joy, which is why we lit the third candle that we did today. Sarah was very excited that it was pink. sometimes known as Gaudete Sunday, which is also just a simple way of saying, a complicated way of saying joy. Because normally the Advent season is a season of penance and repentance, normally the candles are purple. But today we lit a pink one because it represents a brightening, a time of celebration, and therefore of joy. So that's a little bit of piece of Christmas trivia for you. If Auntie's getting a little bit tired on Christmas Day, you can share that nugget with her. Our reading for today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 to 24. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole soul and spirit and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Amen. So, joy. It's a word that is so rich and holds so much meaning. But I think, unfortunately for a lot of us, we've come to associate the word joy with that real excessive cheerfulness that you get to see in some people, particularly around the Christmas period. You know, scrolling through social media over the last few weeks, I've seen the word joy scattered about like glitter, you know. A little bit of joy for you, a little bit of joy for you. Bigger, better, louder, brighter. And shops randomly have the word plastered across their entrance as if walking into Checkers is going to bring you joy. I don't know, maybe two packets of sugar for 70 Rand will bring you joy, but I don't think that's quite what we're getting at here. I myself have been subjected to a particularly challenging set of Christmas songs since roughly mid-September, because I made the error of allowing Sarah to be the DJ on the way to school in the mornings. And let me tell you that when it's load shedding and every single light is out on the way, and Santa Shark, ho, 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 comes on for the third time that morning, it becomes a very, very long drive. And it's all this bigger and better and brighter and bolder. And you must be joyful and you must be cheerful and you must just, you know, everything must be wonderful. Fortunately for us, that is not what the Bible is talking about when it is talking about joy and rejoicing. Joy is not simply that intense happy feeling. And that can be here one moment and then just gone the next. Yes, joy and happiness often do coincide, and it's really wonderful when they do. But joy is simply not the same as happiness. Happiness is something that comes from outside of you, from something that happens to you or something that you receive. And it is fleeting. For example, on Wednesday, I was commissioned by Josh's Nana to take him clothes shopping because his birthday is coming up. And by the time we'd finished, he was so excited. He was deliriously happy. He went home and immediately changed into some of the clothes, and he folded them up carefully, probably for the last time in his life, and placed them in his cupboard very neatly. And he's been living on those clothes for the last few days. It's really been wonderful to witness. But I guarantee then that in about a month, he's going to just open the cupboard and grab whatever's on top and throw it on, and if he doesn't like it, just toss it back in the cupboard. He will be content, but that same intense happiness will be gone. Joy, on the other hand, is something completely different. Joy comes from the inside. An old minister and friend of mine used to describe joy as, you know, that belly laugh that you get out of a kid when they just start and they can't stop and they giggle and it bubbles up from inside of them. And I've always had that sort of image of joy in my head. And it's a gift from God. It is a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which comes from the Spirit living in us. Galatians 5 is gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So that's the good news right there. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit living in us, not from the things around us. And it's a natural side effect of God's presence in our lives. What better news is there than that? So even if you, like Wayne, confess yourself to be something of an Eeyore, the good news is that there is a wellspring of joy deep within you, thanks to the presence of the Holy Spirit. The second thing I want to say today is that joy is not the absence of negative emotions. It's quite the opposite. Joy can and does coexist with a whole range of emotions. I know that sounds strange, but it is so true. We can see countless examples of this throughout the Bible, even in our own lives and in those of the people around us. There are people that have endured some truly unspeakable things, and yet they have remained joyful in the midst of great challenges. The Apostle Paul's life was one such example. During the course of Paul's ministry, he encountered opposition even from fellow believers. He was persecuted, stoned, driven out of cities, suffered shipwrecks. He was imprisoned. And while we don't know exactly how he came to pass, the exact details of the death are unknown, tradition holds that he was beheaded eventually in Rome. All of that. Yet look at the letters he wrote, many of them from prison itself. And one of the central themes of many of his letters is joy. Now, for many of us, this year has been tough. We may not have experienced shipwrecks or stonings, but there's been chronic pain or sickness, depression, anxiety, difficulty with co-workers, and a whole bunch of other stresses. And at this time of Advent and Christmas, all of those emotions are intensified. If we are sad, we feel more so at Christmas. If we are lonely, we feel more so at Christmas. So how do we, like Paul, find and tap into that true, lasting spiritual joy? How can we always be joyful, like Paul writes in our reading for today? The answer is in something that I mentioned earlier. Joy is the natural side effect of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So please go easy on yourself if you're not feeling overly exuberant this Christmas. That isn't the joy that we're talking about. Joy is that lasting emotion that comes from the choice to trust that God will fulfill his promises in our lives. I think that the Bible scholar John MacArthur described it so well when he wrote, "Spiritual joy is not an attitude dependent on chance or circumstances. It is the deep and abiding confidence that regardless of one's circumstances in life, all is well between the believer and the Lord. No matter what difficulty, pain, disappointment, failure, rejection, or other challenges one is facing, genuine joy remains because of that eternal well-being established by God's grace in salvation." Thus, Scripture makes it clear that the fullest, most lasting kind of joy is derived from a true relationship with God. It is not based on circumstances or chance, but is the gracious and permanent possession of every child of God. Isn't that good news? Joy is the gracious and permanent possession of every child of God. That is how we can still have joy in the midst of suffering. Joy in the presence of depression. Joy even in the darkest valleys. And we can boldly or timidly say, "It is well with my soul." All may not be well with my body. It may not be all that well with the world around me. But it is well with my soul because I have a God who loves me and promises me that he will be with me no matter what. So when the world threatens to smother you sometimes, and it can feel like it is, remember whose you are. Not who, whose you are. You belong to the one who created the heavens and the earth, and there is none more powerful in all of creation. Stay connected to God. Hold on for dear life. Paul encouraged the Thessalonians to pray continuously. And that is how we stay connected. And so as we head towards Christmas and all the lights and good cheer, there is a call to joy, but not the way the world sees it. I pray that you'll find a deep and profound sense of delight in being God's child and in serving him over this time. Can we pray? Thanks. Lord, we stand in wonder of you. And we are so grateful to you for all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, that like we sang earlier, you met us at our lowest moments. You drew us out of darkness. You are there in the best and the worst moments. You are there when we are celebrating, but you are also there when we hit rock bottom. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. That you are the reason we can have joy even when the storms of life are raging. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and we pray that we would have a profound sense of your presence with us throughout this Advent season as we celebrate the miracle of heaven touching earth. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.